Good morning. It is time to get up with a jaw-dropping performance from Ja Morant. The dunk, the game winner, the fourth quarter rally. What a night in Memphis. Plus, KD is called out. The Nets superstar is facing serious criticism after a catastrophic end to Brooklyn's season. And the Joneses are dishing details on Dallas's draft day decisions. But should the Cowboys fans be happy with what they're hearing? Welcome to Get Up. I'm Dan Graziano in for Greeny. And look at all these people who are here with me. We got Jeff Saturday, Sam Acho, Jeremy Fowler, Jordan Reed. That's the football crew. Zach Lowe is in the Seaport today with us to talk some hoops along with Vince Carter. It's a big day here, and we will, in fact, start in the NBA with our game of the night. Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Timberwolves in game 5 of their playoff series. We're going to take it right to the third quarter because that's when this happened. Ja Morant driving and dunking it with authority, putting Malik Beasley on an all-time poster. That cut the Minnesota lead to 11 at the time. Fourth quarter, Timberwolves up by 10. Karl Anthony Towns casually draining this three-pointer and then shushing the Memphis crowd. Could that come back to haunt him? The answer, spoiler alert, is yes. Timberwolves up 13 at that point, but with about 5:50 to play, the Grizzlies down 7. Dylan Brooks misses a three, and Brandon Clark gets the putback. Grizzlies down 99-94. Later, the down three, Morant misses a floater. The scramble in the paint, Clark makes it off the glass. Grizzlies down by 1. The bench loves it. The crowd loves it. 4.5 minutes to go. Same score. Pat Beverly. He's going to make a floater in the paint. Then he's going to tell Ja Morant he's too small to guard him. Timberwolves up by 3. Less than 30 seconds later, Morant drives into the paint, makes the bucket, does the same thing. Back to Pat Bev. This series has a little bit of everything. Grizzlies now down by 1. 1:10 left. They're down by 2. Tyus Jones misses the 3. Clark gets the rebound, gets it out to Morant, who makes the 3. Grizzlies up by 1. Fans hoping they can finish this. Under 10 seconds to play. The T-Wolves down 109-106. Anthony Edwards gets the pass in the corner and makes a ridiculous three to tie the game with less than 4 seconds left. And then here's what happened.
Gets it to Morant. Morant leaves it in with 1 second remaining. The timeout from Minnesota. Grizzlies lead it by 2. Grizzlies got a matchup. Towns, a desperation heave. Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over. And the Grizzlies go to Minneapolis with a 3-2 series lead.
Special moment for Morant and the Grizzlies. He finishes with 30 points, 13 boards, 9 assists. Grizzlies win, take a 3-2 lead in the series. Morant put the team on his back, scored the final 13 points for Memphis, the most consecutive points scored by a player age 22 or younger to close out a playoff game since LeBron James went off and scored the final 25 points in Game 5 of the 2007 Conference Finals against the Pistons. What a game that was. What a series this has been. So pleased to have Zach Lowe in studio and Vince Carter joining us to talk about it. Vince, I got to start with the dunk in the third quarter, the Ja Morant dunk that we're just going to, I got to tell you, we're going to keep playing all morning here because it was that good. What are your thoughts on this?
You had a bunch of football guys at the table earlier, and it was like 4th and inches, and Ja knew we needed this first down to win the game, and he just took flight. And once he saw a gap, an athlete like that is going to take advantage of it. Malik Beasley, he made a business decision, and obviously it was the wrong decision. And Ja Morant definitely has a post.
What are you supposed to do there, Zach? I mean, you don't want to get out of the way and look like you're not trying, right?
I think you got to take it as an honor that you're in the highlight. I think you got to spin it the other way.
What do you make of what Ja did here and really the whole game?
Well, first of all, I'd like to be cool enough for 1 second to do the flip phone thing and not look like an idiot in my own life. But just the sheer relentlessness of it, like no matter what defense they threw at him, he's getting through the splitting the trap and going to the rim. Floaters, threes, cuts. You just can't stop him. He played the entire second half, 45 minutes, 17 free throw attempts. That was a finding a way to win the game performance by him. Just a great, great performance. Just relentless. I'm tired watching him throwing himself at the rim over and over again.
It is throwing himself at the rim. Vince, is this a dunk you could pull off?
At one point in time in my life, yes. That is a dunk that I would definitely do. And yeah. Not today. Today I'd hurt myself. But I tell you what, you know, for a guy like him, he understands if you give me a crack of space, I'm taking advantage of it, and he's putting people on notice. If you're going to stand there, I'm going to try you. And last thing I got to say, you know, you look at the game in this game. This is two young teams. Anthony Edwards, you can't go for the steal. You can't go for the steal for the game winner. You have to stay solid. But you see right there, you know, I see Mutombo there. Yeah, I see Zoe there. I'm going to try you. We'll see what happens. Now, Malik Beasley, he sees you there. Guess what he's going to do? Poster.
Man. At the end of the game, though, Zach, I mean, he's right. Like, all I could think was, how does Minnesota let Morant, of all people, get the ball there? That had to be the focus of what they were trying to do on defense, and yet he got it anyway.
And you could see it coming, too. He's coming off that pin down. You can see it. You're saying to Anthony, no, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just stay flat. Stay flat. And he didn't stay flat, and here we are.
Unbelievable. What are we – exactly. What are we making this series? I mean, this has been, I think, the most exciting series so far. What are we watching? Are we watching two young teams that could be something in the future, or either one of these teams going to make a run?
I think they are both going to be something in the future. The Grizzlies, I think, have a better chance to make a run this year. But this series has been pure, unadulterated chaos. Fouls, replay challenges. Everybody's in foul trouble. Scramble. There's all these Keystone Cop sequences when the ball's just flying around. You don't know what the heck is going on. It's been complete madness from start to finish. You got to tune in.
Timberwolves get a chance to even the series on Friday, unlike the Brooklyn Nets, who were eliminated from their first round series in a sweep against Boston two nights ago. Let's take a look at what happened in the Nets season. Brooklyn was the favorite to win the title on October 19th, according to Caesars Sportsbook. New York City mandate kept unvaccinated athletes, including Kyrie Irving, from playing in home games until it was lifted in March. In February, Brooklyn shipped James Harden and Paul Millsap to Philadelphia for Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round draft picks. Simmons played as many games for the Nets as Zach and I did this year. Then on Monday, the Celtics finished off the Nets, marking the first time either Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving were swept in a playoff series. Stephen A. Smith was here yesterday on Get Up and had some stuff to say about Kevin Durant's leadership. Listen to this.
Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players in NBA history, and I consider to be the best player in the world today, regardless of what just happened in this series, even though it was bad. I think exhaustion played the part. I think we're going to learn that he was a bit injured in this series as well. As great as he is as a player, he's that poor as a leader. You're the face of this franchise, and you've been deferential. Because you're deferring to your boy, Kyrie. That's your man. He's incredibly loyal and what have you. You have to step up as a leader and show that you are truly deserving of being the face of a franchise by holding people accountable.
Zach, your thoughts.
I get what he's saying. Someone needs to set a tone for what the Nets stand for. They used to stand for plucky competitiveness when they had D'Angelo Russell, Joe Harris. Someone needs to set the tone. In this season, of all seasons, though, I find it hard to give an ounce of blame to the guy who showed up ready to play, played at an MVP level, didn't pout when things were going wrong, just other than when he was injured, just kept playing and playing and playing. He was the most reliable superstar on the team by like fathoms and fathoms. So I get what Stephen A is saying. I also don't know if Kevin Durant tries to set that tone with Kyrie Irving and says, hey, get vaccinated, we're trying to win a title. Is that going to make a difference? Is he going to listen? What if they all do, if Joe Tsai does, Sean Marks, Kevin Durant, James Harden when he was on the team, if they all say that, well, you know, is it going to make a difference? So I just find it hard. I get what Stephen A is saying. Someone needs to stand up and own that locker room. But I find it hard to point any blame at KD after this season.
Yeah, I was thinking, I mean, of all the things that went wrong for them this year, Kevin Durant doesn't seem to be one of the biggest. But that said, he did not play particularly well in that four-game sweep against Boston. Vince, what stood out to you about his performance in that series?
Well, bro, Zach, I thought he was shell-shocked. I mean, it just, you know, you come into a series and you're like, okay, what defense are they going to throw at me? Well, they were physical. They were under him. They were nagging him, just getting under his skin. Sometimes you can get under KD's skin when you're a little physical and when you just bump him around a little bit and you foul and maybe say a few words to him. And I just looked shell-shocked and just out of sorts for whatever reason. And it didn't help that he got the turnovers. He wasn't making shots. He couldn't find guys. Guys couldn't get going to help him or make the game easier. And, of course, game four, when they needed him to get rolling, he found a way. But to me, he just looked shell-shocked and bothered mentally from start to finish.
Dude, you can get under Kevin Durant's skin with a tweet, but that's a different story for another time. Zach, after the game, Kyrie Irving mentioned that he looks forward to managing the franchise alongside Durant. What'd you make of his comments about that?
They are a little bit tone deaf, I think, after the season. Like, my first reaction was managing the franchise. They have people whose job it is to manage the franchise. How about we just play for the franchise? He's played 103 games in three seasons, and obviously injuries have played a part of that. Other things have played a part in that, too. The Brooklyn Nets have won one playoff series in 3 years with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Before we start talking about molding the franchise in my image and doing this and managing it with Sean and Joe, dropping the first names of everybody, how about just playing and winning a little bit more? He played a third of the games he's been available for since he's been there.
Vince, what did you think of those comments?
Zach, I'm with you. You have to earn that honor. You have to win games for that franchise. Yes, they should value their opinion of guys they would like to play alongside. But also, if you're going to keep Steve Nash, that's another guy you might want to have in the room asking him what type of guys he would like for his team. Because for me, as a player sometimes who've been asked about coaching, that's the one thing that kind of bothers me is you hire a coach to coach your team, but you don't get the players that match or fits his style of coaching. So I think they need to go back to the drawing board. First and foremost, make sure your big three is set. Make sure Ben Simmons, whatever mentally and physically the problems that he's having, you get that figured out. Then have Kyrie bring him in and, of course, tie it in with Durant. And then you fix your defense deficiencies that we saw defensively and more scoring, more two-way players, more height. So there's a lot of things that need to happen, but kind of letting the players run the organization, not a good idea. We've seen what has happened when guys have done that, i.e. in L.A.
Yeah, he mentions Simmons, Zach, and then they said the guy they traded for didn't play for either of his teams this year. If we're living in a world where we expect him back next season, does that make them, we're going down this road again, a title contender with Durant and Kyrie?
I'm sick of using the word theoretically because I said this when they did the trade. Everyone was so excited about the fit of Ben Simmons with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. He doesn't need to create shots. He doesn't need to handle the ball. He can be their Draymond Green, defend, rebound, push the pace. Yeah, I get it. It all makes sense. Can we see it first? So I'm excising theoretically, yes. I'm excising theoretically, and I'm saying no until we see it. I'm not going to talk about what this team could be, how good they could be, could they make the conference finals, could they contend, until we see the team with the big three playing. We know we're going to see Kevin because that's what Kevin Durant does. He comes and plays. Are we going to see the other two? If so, I'll evaluate the team then until no, they're not a title contender.
Vince, one final thought on this.
I'm right there with you. I want to see the team. They need to upgrade the roster first. I mean, what they have right now, maybe so, but you know, you got to make sure your guys are going to be available. So I'm with Zach. Let's just see what happens in the summer and what product they put on the floor next year. And I think once we see that, you'll be able to decide if they're contenders.
All right, lots more hoops with these two as the show continues. We're going to move to NFL. You know what? I don't want to move to NFL yet. I want to see the John Morant dunk again. Look at this eye candy. The poster dunk on Malik Beasley. What do our NFL guys think about this? What's going on? What's going on here? We still got the hoops guys here. We got the football guys coming in for this. I want everybody's thoughts on the John Morant dunk.
Well, what can you say? I mean, he jumped
first
over
down.
The guy.
He did. He jumped over the guy. He flattened him. He got horizontal. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. But we're going to talk about that more later. Right now, we're going to move to the NFL, where the biggest story as we approach draft day, which is tomorrow, is the pending trade request of 49ers star wide receiver Deebo Samuel. He has told our Jeff Darlington that he wanted a trade, asked the 49ers to trade him, doesn't want to play there anymore. Obviously, a lot of wide receiver movement around the league this year, a lot of big new contracts being handed out to the wide receivers this year. So this is a storyline as we approach the draft, as Sam Acho waits for his chair. We're not used to having this many people. We're not used to needing this many chairs. Jeremy Fowler, get us started here. What's the very latest on the Deebo Samuel front and the potential trade?
Yeah, Dan, I've been checking in with a source involved. I am told that Deebo Samuel's hopeful that a trade happens here in short order and that he believes it could happen because the 49ers are at least listening to offers. Doesn't mean they'll move on it. The problem is I've talked to some teams who are skeptical because the 49ers love the guy on and off the field. They really don't want to do this. It would take a massive haul to make this happen. But the Jets have had some interest. I'm told the Lions and the Packers have had some level of interest. And there could be some urgency here in the next 36 hours leading up to draft time.
You know, when this broke last week, Sacho, my first thought was sort of be careful what you wish for. He's been so good in this offense. Why would he want out? But you had a reason.
Well, the thought is, if you're playing running back's career spans in the NFL are shorter than anyone else in the NFL. this guy, Deebo Samuel, had more rushes than any other receiver by far. And so he was pretty much playing running back to see the team be successful. But receivers, not only are they getting great contracts, but also there's a less toll on your body. And so from that perspective, long-term career perspective, you want to make that move from running back, at least what you're playing right now, to a full-time receiver.
Yeah, I mean, 59 carries, right? So less than four a game. It's not like he's right. He's not Derrick Henry here.
This is my issue with this, right? Is this guy should be, let me make this clear, he should be paid as high as the other receivers in the NFL. So as far as payment, if I'm the 49ers, I'm giving him a new contract. I'm giving him a big contract. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. As far as I want to play a bit of a different position, if I'm a team interested in you and you're telling me you want less touches than what you're getting now, here's the issue with me, Sam, is you're talking about a guy who he got 60 or 59 carries, right? So to Dan's point, about four a game. He's averaging over 6 yards every one of those. So that tells you they're explosive runs. They're not just average. These are explosive runs, and I think he had 8 touchdowns out of it. So not only is it the production value that's there is absolutely incredible. If you're telling me you want to get the ball 60 times less a season, you are a playmaker. It's not just a wide receiver. If you're an offensive coordinator, you want to get this guy the ball as many times you can, whether it's a running back, at receiver, and everybody's going to say, oh, you can find him in the screen game. No, you can't, because once teams realize you're not going to put him in the backfield, they're going to script you differently on the defensive side of the ball, so it does change your offensive production. Listen, I think he should be paid, but I think he is a playmaker and a better playmaker than just a pure wide receiver.
But it was, if you dig into the details a little bit, dig into the numbers, it wasn't really just 4 carries a game. Before week 9, he averaged less than 1 carry a game. And the team, San Francisco, they were 4-5. From week 10 on, he averaged over 7 carries a game, and they were 9-3 in that span.
So you're helping me.
And no, I'm not, because it's not about the touches. He doesn't want less touches, but he doesn't want to be – like, when you're getting touched as a running back, you're getting hit by nose tackles, 350-pound guys, linebackers. When you're getting touches as a receiver, right, think about Antonio Brown when he was in Pittsburgh, getting all those touches, think Michael Thomas in New Orleans. You're getting hit by corners and safeties. You have a longer career. And so it's not about wanting less touches. He wants to be a playmaker, but he wants to do it when it's beneficial, not just to the team, but also to his career.
Let me ask you this.
Yes,
if you're signing up on Monday and you only have to script Deebo Samuel as an outside receiver, or you're a defensive coordinator and you got to script him having 20 carries or 20 touches from the backfield and outside, which job is easier for you?
It's of course easier to script him as a receiver, but think about Deebo's perspective.
Okay, I understand what he's saying, but I'm saying he's put that information out there to other teams already. If you're a team interested in trading what's going to be a major haul, you want this dude touching the ball as many times as possible, not asking for less.
He can still touch the ball as many times as possible as a receiver.
All right. But outside. But the production will not be the same, because you can play it differently. And you and I both know that from a defensive perspective, it's not nearly as good. If he's averaging 6 yards a clip at the backfield, imagine the pass plays that are coming back from that.
I have one piece, if I could just say. I'm just – see it from Debo's perspective.
I 100% agree.
Like, you played the game. And so think about it. Okay, hey, man, you're going to get all these carries, going to be great. But you might have a 3-year career. You might have 3 more years left on your career. Or you go play receiver, you might add an extra 4 or 5 years to that career. From that perspective, I think it's a good decision.
So the point is that he wants to get traded. He wants somebody to trade for him.
Exactly.
If you're going to give up – what's it you're talking about? At least a first-round pick, right?
And plus, at minimum.
To try and get
for the 49ers, it's a baseline of a first-round pick. But this, here's the thing. Like,
and then you got to sign him.
You got to sign him. But,
right.
But the running back receiver dynamic, I'm hearing, is only part of the issue. Like, the relationship, it seems like, has soured, which has sort of confounded the 49ers. They love the guy, and they're trying to figure out what the heck is happening. So there's something else in play here where he wants to – I think if he goes and gets the right contract, you have a certain amount of money, like, he'll get the ball in the backfield on occasion if you have to. He just doesn't want to be a true running back pounding it between the tackles.
He is not a true – but that's my point. So even if you're getting eight carries or 8 touches from the backfield, that's not a true running back. The physical abuse – if you're getting 6 yards a carry, you're not getting abused. If you're getting 2 yards a hit,
Jeff,
I get it.
Whatever it takes – as an offensive coordinator, whatever it takes. So right now it might be 8. Well, let's say if we need to win, you're going to get – it might be 12, 15. Like, when does it end?
Right, right.
So, I mean, I'm with you totally, but it gets to the point where it's like, well, you're only getting 4 a game. It really – no, but whatever it takes. So if it takes 20 carries
– what Jeremy's saying would make more sense to me, that something is, has run amok in the organization, if that's the case, because this kid is too good of a play – he's too much of a playmaker, in my opinion, for a team to say, I'm going to go take this chance, but I'm not sure I can only play him at one position. That would be concerning.
Some reason he wants out that we'll eventually find out down the road. 49ers don't have a first-round pick again until 2024 because of last year's deal for Trey Lance. So you might be able to get their attention with one this year or next year. Much more on this later. When we come back, though, all is not well in Philly. Can Joel Embiid and James Harden avoid what would be a historic playoff collapse? Plus, we have large men driving other large men into the ground. That's right.
And I want
Jeff Saturday's back with pancakes when we come back on Get Up.
Somebody better order those. They look good.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Unbeatable Plays is brought to you by Xfinity, and guess which one we picked today? That's right. It's the Ja Morant dunk. We're just going to watch this over and over. Guys, the NFL guys are back.
He's floating. He literally, how does he keep on rising up? That's the thing I need to understand.
Guys, I'm not impressed.
You're not impressed? because when you do it.
They didn't contest it, right?
Right.
Exactly. You should see Jeremy on the basketball court.
Yeah, he's dunking on air right now because the guy's not contesting. He's just
y'all
standing
sleep,
there.
Jeremy about 6'5".
I got the power
later. Let me tell you something.
We're going to talk more about it later. We come back, though. Philadelphia, they got trouble. What did Joel Embiid and James Harden need to do to avoid a historic playoff collapse against Toronto? We'll talk about it next.
Winner takes a 3-2 lead in this opening round series. Morant. Grizzlies will have one last opportunity with 3.7 to go.
Can you take us through the last play?
Go get a bucket, Ja.
Morant drives. Morant. Oh, it's good. Ja Morant with the bucket. A gutty Grizzly win. And Morant is the hero.
And, of course, the incredible ending to last night's Memphis-Minnesota playoff game. Anthony Edwards hits an incredible three-pointer 4 seconds earlier that no one will ever remember to tie the game because of that Ja Morant play. Right. How does he get the ball there? How does Minnesota let that happen?
It's a fail. It's just a fail. You got to stay in front of him. Don't go for the steal. It's hard to fault Anthony Edwards. He had a nice stretch run. That was a monster three he hit, but you're right. It's forgotten in the dustbin of history now thanks to that shot right there.
Vince Carter, what do you think about that last play? When you watch what Ja Morant does to make sure, he said, just go get a bucket, Ja. Like, is it that simple?
Yeah.
The mentality is that simple, but the defense made it that simple as well. Anthony Edwards, you're told in a play like this, if you're gonna gamble, you better guess correctly, because if Anthony Edwards is in front of Ja Morant, now that has to be a fadeaway contested jump shot instead of a momentum layup like he got for the winner.
Now, speaking of in front of Ja Morant, I know we're going back to this a lot, the dunk from the third quarter. We wanted to know the answer to this question. Is this the best playoff dunk ever? I assume we have the tape. Yes, we can roll it again. Here he goes. What do we think about this in the pantheon, Zach Lowe, of all-time playoff dunks?
I don't even need the tape. It's in my head now. I mean, he jumped over Malik Beasley. And by the way, it was a huge play. They were down by 13. It totally swung the momentum of the game in the crowd. So I think given those circumstances, this guy's got some candidates, okay? Pippen over Ewing, Jordan's baseline dunk, Baron Davis over Kirilenko. Those are all
great. Thank you.
I think this is the best one.
I think it's the best one.
They won the game. That's what caps it. They came back to win the game.
Vince?
It's up there. I mean, it's hard to rank them because, like I said, there's plenty of them that I think that if you say time and score, that you know, like this one. But I'm going to put him up there. I don't know if I'm going to put him one, but he's up there. He's one. He's either one. If he's not one, he's two. He's top three. Let's go there.
What's amazing about this and about this whole series, how young all these guys are. I mean, this might not be the best playoff dunk we ever see from Ja Morant. He's just
might not be the best
started.
One in this series, it depending on how long it goes.
Might not be the best one in this series.
Is
that is a fact. Speaking of facts, let's play a game of NBA playoff fact or fiction. They ask these guys a question. They'll tell me whether it's fact or fiction. Actually, I'm not going to ask the question. I'm going to make a statement. Zach, fact or fiction, the Warriors should be the favorite to come out of the West.
Given the uncertainty about Devin Booker and his timeline, this is an emphatic fact at this point. I've been high on the Warriors all season. I did not see Jordan Poole turning into Splash Brother number three, but they play a style of play that is really hard to guard and really hard to deal with. I'm going fact. Draymond looks great. Their defense looks great. Fact.
Fact. Warriors favorites in the West. Vince, fact or fiction, the Celtics should be the favorite to come out of the East right now.
Graz, that is a fact. That is a fact. But let's be clear. The Miami Heat are serious and right there on the rise as well. I mean, just think about how they dominated. Their two best players didn't play their last game, and that was a dominant performance by them as well. So, yes, it's a fact, the Boston Celtics.
Well, there you go. That counts as a prediction. Warriors Celtics in the final. We'll hold you guys to that. I'm kidding. Hey, listen, fact or fiction, Zach Lowe, the 76ers, who led 3-0, are about to blow this series to the Raptors by losing 4 in a row. Fact or fiction?
So I feel a little nauseous because I don't like showing faith in Philadelphia after how lifeless they looked in game 5. But I picked Philly in 7 before the series. I'm sticking Philly in 7. If they can't beat this Toronto team one more time, then what are we even doing here? So I don't feel good. I don't feel good, but I'm going fiction.
Boy, the pressure. If Toronto wins 3 straight,
to tie it. I can't think about it.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, after they lost to Toronto the other night in Game 5, Joel Embiid had some strong words to say about teammate James Harden. Listen to this.
I've been saying all season since he got here, you know, he just needs to be aggressive and he needs to be himself. That's not really my job. That's probably on coach to, you know, talk to him and tell him to, you know, take more shots, especially if they're going to guard me the way they've been guarding. That's really not my job.
Vince, he says it's not his job, it's the coach's job. But what do you think of Embiid calling out Harden to shoot more?
I don't see it as a bad thing because Joel Embiid understands and he knows, my thumb is bothering me. I'm going to need that other superstar on my team to take shots and be dominant as well. Because if Joel Embiid is going to demand the attention that he's going to demand, to offset that, you have James Harden now probably getting a chance to play one-on-one. And he hasn't been able to beat guys off the dribble. So I don't see it as a bad thing. It's not demonstrative. He's not going point, point, point. Yes, maybe they can keep it in-house. Cool. They can probably keep that in-house. But at the same time, he's just trying to motivate, I think, his teammate because he understands who he's talking about. He's talking about James Harden, not just a guy who had a couple of good games here and there. He's talking about James Harden who historically can get buckets in the playoffs. Yes, we've seen him
wind up small in the playoffs as well. But he needs an aggressive James Harden to offset him and the double teams and his thumb.
Yeah, and there is obviously some urgency here because it would have sounded ridiculous last weekend, but the Sixers, you know, could lose this series. They lose two more games. If they lose, what's next for James Harden in Philadelphia?
First of all, Vince, it's out of the house now, running around the yard after those comments last night. And by the way, if you rewatch Philly's fourth quarter possessions, right, on half of them, it's not even about shooting. He doesn't even touch the ball, James Harden. Yeah. He's off the ball doing nothing. What's next for him? If he plays like this, and I think a good question would be, does Toronto want him to shoot more? Forget what Joel Embiid said. Would they be happy with that? But if he's playing like this, I would bet tentatively on him opting in to the final year of his contract, because I got to get that money if I'm playing like this and then figuring it out later. I think if they lose this series and he goes out playing below his standards, I think his future in Philly is going to be a little bit more up in the air than we thought.
Interesting. How about it, Vince? We asked Zach at the beginning of this segment, can the Sixers really end up losing this series?
I mean, you look at the beginning of this series, you're like, man, they're dominating. Nobody can guard Joel Embiid. Yes, Fred VanVleet goes down. They play a bigger lineup, and it seemed to have is bothering not really Joel more so than, Harden. They're making it tough on Harden. You now have 6'7", 6'8", athletes who are just flying around, bumping, can defend, long arm. Rookie of the year, Scotty Barnes, now playing the point guard. So you're just going 6'7", 6'7", across the board. I mean, I think they figured out something, but I agree with you, Zach. In seven games, if they can't win at home, I just don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Game six in Toronto, though, right?
Yes.
So we're still dealing with the Matisse Thybulle situation, right? So you like Toronto to win game six?
I have this sneaking suspicion in my gut that Philly's going to go to Toronto and surprise us a little bit with, like, a real effort and win in Toronto. I don't like it. I don't know what my gut is doing this morning, but I have a sneaking suspicion.
All right, more from Vince Carter, Zach Lowe, and Zach's gut as we continue on Get Up. The NBA playoffs first round rolls on Friday on ESPN and possibly ESPN News. We have potentially three game sixes for you. We know for sure we have game six of the Grizzlies and Timberwolves, but the Nuggets have to avoid elimination again against the Warriors, and the Bulls have to do the same against the Bucks. Those teams play tonight, so we'll find out if there are game sixes in those series. If they are, you'll see them Friday. Coming up, do you want to see large men throwing other large men into the ground? Of course you do! We're in luck, because we have Jeff Saturday bringing back the pancakes next.
We've been lighting them carbs, baby. Grimes, we're coming back, the big boys. Come
Ooh,
and see us,
baby.
Can't wait. Come check us out.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Time for your morning wake-up call, courtesy of Ja Morant. Listen to Eric Hasselton on Grizzlies Radio and Ian Eagle on the TNT call.
Morant downhill into the lane. He hangs it. Oh, my goodness. He jumps right over Malik Beasley with a right-handed hammer. Oh, Lord. It's Morant.
Oh, a jawbreaker.
And if there's anything that will get this crowd roaring at the Grizzlies' den, it is Ja Morant on the full extension.
That dunk happened with 5 seconds left in the third quarter. Up to that point, Morant was not having a particularly good game, only scoring 12 points and just 2 of 7 from the free throw line. But the dunk ignited an 18-point fourth quarter performance that included Morant scoring the final 13 points for the Grizzlies, including the game-winning shot.
Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that.
throw them out the club. Wagyu, throw them out the club. You see them?
One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes.
Ooh!
That's right, Jeff Saturday's back in studio. What's
we back, on? Baby! We are back! Listen, we got some rookies. We got some
draft
rookies on stage.
Pancakes.
So let me show you how we're gonna get this thing started.
Right, yeah.
Get your feet up.
Come
show
on.
That athleticism, baby. We're gonna let this thing run. Fox in here. I miss you, brother. Saturday's about to crank it up. Listen, we got prospects from this draft coming up. We're gonna start with my man, Bernard Raymond. Listen, you wanna talk about a man's eyes when he gets stuck on the train tracks? Watch him come up in this screen. Watch this little man right here. Nope! Boom! Take some of that, little man. Put him on his back. He doesn't even slow his legs down as he runs through him and puts him in the turf. There is nothing better for an offensive line than seeing this little dude think he's going to make a tackle and then get dumped. He don't even want to get up. Look at him. Right here. Sam, no part of that. Nobody likes any part of that. Love that start. It's one pancake, though, because it's a little guy.
Little guy,
you know,
right.
We don't give too much love for little guys, right? Listen, I think he should be the number one pick in the draft right here, Evan Neal. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. Hey, listen, you know what we call this? Pancake platter, baby. When you come down and dump guys on their back, guy tries to rush inside. Look at him. Head hits the turf. That's how violent that shot is.
He wasn't even looking, though. He wasn't even looking. That's like, you know.
I don't care if they look. That's like that. I don't care if a linebacker looks. I want to put his head on the turf first. That's what he does. That's the noise we're talking about. That's two pancakes. It's a big body man. I'll take one pancake away. This hurts my heart now. It's against the Tar Heel. I don't like to see this. But it is one of, oh, my word. Y'all, listen, if you're going to put this might be one of his greatest blocks ever in his career. And the maul at the end, that's not that's like adding insult to injury, man. You are putting it on him. Dumping, again, I hate it against the Tar Heels, but he finishes. Look at this body. Three pancakes, because you get a big man, get him on the ground, and then step on him. That's one best run blocker in the draft right here. This kid.
All right.
Oh. He can absolutely play. He's a fantastic football player.
Best run blocker in the draft. You said Evan Neal should go first overall. Jordan Reed, our draft analyst, is he out of his mind?
Oh, no, he's completely right. I think Ikem Ekwonu is the best run blocker in this draft.
If Jeff,
no
if doubt. Jeff had it his way, all the linemen would go. All 32 would be all linemen. Am I lying?
Why stop at 32?
Hey,
those were all great, but did you see the pancake last night from the NBA? I don't know if we've shown this yet. John Morant, have we seen the John Morant? Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is the same as that DB who got caught on the tracks. He's trying to be in the right place at the right time, but guess what? Oh, my goodness. I would give that three because that is a man trying to put it. And he just – I mean, and Jeremy Fowler told me that's not impressive. Like, first of all, Jeremy might be able to reach the net. He's 6'5", I'm going to reach the net. This dude is touching the top of the backboard for you. Clearly hooks
Jeremy,
it down.
Jeremy wants to defend himself.
I love it.
Coming in hot.
I don't take the charge. I'm getting my foul. I got five of them. I'm going to get them, bro. I'm going to get them all.
Jeremy might not be great at rating dunks, but he is good at getting NFL information. So it is now time to run the hurry up with our Jeremy Fowler. Draft's not the only thing going on this week. Jeremy, take us through some quarterback notes.
Here we are.
Starting in Arizona with
all
Kyler
right.
Murray.
Dan, let's do this. Kyler Murray, I'm told that the Arizona Cardinals are just trying to get through the draft here, and then they will refocus, which includes revisiting Kyler's contract situation. So I expect this to heat up sometime over the summer. Arizona has budgeted for this, I'm told, for a while. They know that they want to pay this guy, need to pay this guy. They can do it while maintaining a good roster, but if they don't do it here soon, they could have problems. Murray might not show up for the offseason program or training camp at that point. He needs a new deal. So Daniel Jones, the Giants in the next week need to decide whether they pick up that fifth-year option of $22 million in 2023, and they have not made a firm decision on that, but I've asked around. Some league execs don't expect the Giants to do so because they've probably learned from Sam Darnold's situation in Carolina and Baker Mayfield's situation in Cleveland, where you guarantee that money and then you need to get out of it if they don't play well. Put the pressure on Jones to play on his own in 2022, maybe become a free agent at that point. And then we have Baker Mayfield's situation, which we've talked all about. I told the Browns continue to be highly motivated to get a deal done here in the next 48 hours or so around draft time. This could heat up day two or day three, but there just has not been a strong market here, Dan. You know, I've talked to teams. Carolina, they've been implicated here, but I'm told they're very torn on Mayfield being a guy for them, that he might just end up being the best of bad options, but they're not overly sold on this. If he's released, he will have a good market, though. Seattle will be among the teams that will explore that.
Carolina, you mentioned they have the number 6 pick in the draft. They still have Sam Darnold, who right now looks like he'll be the starter if nothing else happens. Their GM, Scott Fitterer, had this to say yesterday, I believe, about their quarterback situation.
It's great to go with a young guy. I mean, that, you want to draft one, develop them, and have them be your own. You know, there's a cost effectiveness that is involved with that. And you also, you know, why are some quarterbacks available that are out on the market? You have to ask yourself that.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, I mean, he's not naming names, but we can.
Yeah.
Right? All right. So let's say, I mean, Baker Mayfield, as Jeremy mentioned, is a quarterback that is out there very much on the market. We had Orlovsky on the show Monday, Dan, earlier this week saying Baker was going to be the steal of the draft. But, I mean, Jeff, do you think that buying low on Baker Mayfield could make some GM look smart?
When you tell me it's a steal of the draft, I got to figure out what you're paying for him to get him, right? So if you're giving up picks and money, like what are you giving up? I think if he walks into Carolina or Seattle, that doesn't make them a contender. Could he potentially be their quarterback of the future? Yeah, but again, you would have to buy low for this to be a true steal. And so when they put the fifth-year option on him, depending on what they're asking for in the trade, and again, the Browns have no leverage. So if you just wait him out, you could probably get him released and get him for next to or nothing. But, you know, in my opinion, to be the steal of the draft, he would have to come in and make you a contender. I don't think he does that in either of those teams, not just because of him, but because of their roster and where their roster is as a football team.
Carolina reluctant to release him because that $18.85 million is fully guaranteed, whether he's on the team or not.
Right.
They still have to pay it. Sacho, has Baker, I mean, has he kind of earned this spot, like where he is right now, where people are talking about him as a throwaway quarterback almost?
No, I don't think he has at all. And I think the reason is we have recency bias. We look at last year, and Baker was injured last year. Baker didn't play well last year based off his arm being in a sling and being injured. But 2 years ago, he was 10th in QBR. Right, so I don't need you to be a top 5 quarterback or top 10. Just be top 32. And Baker Mayfield, I believe, is one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. And so this idea of people saying, well, he's just, you know, we don't need him or whatever. It's some teams that need some quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if you don't get those guys in the draft, you would be very happy and very pleased to have a healthy Baker Mayfield on your team.
And let's say this about Mayfield. He will be much further along than any of the rookies that you're going to draft, right? And I'm not just saying talent-wise, but I'm saying understanding the NFL game and being able to adapt your game to it, he would be light years ahead of those young kids.
Well, I want to bring in our draft analyst, Jordan Reed, here to talk about that very question. When you look, Jordan, at Baker Mayfield and his skill set compared with the quarterbacks that likely to be taken in the first round of this year's draft, first or second round, how does he stack up?
Well, when we're strictly talking about quarterbacks in this draft class compared to what he was at Oklahoma, just as prospects, I think Baker would be the bona fide QB1 in this class. But with Baker, obviously he had his arm in the sling. He wasn't healthy last year, but we've all played that game of musical chairs before. That music is about to stop, and there's not a lot of landing spots with where he can go right now. And I think it probably is between Seattle and Carolina. You look at the Carolina Panthers. They have one pick inside of the top 130 draft picks. Obviously, Scott Fitterer likes to move around a little bit. He likes to wheel and deal. But I think with Baker Mayfield, he has to go to an established situation like Carolina of where Matt Rhule has to win right away.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So getting a veteran quarterback in the building, I think that would be a good landing spot for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, again, to be the steal of something, you know, we talked about this earlier today. Trent Williams, that was a steal, right?
Yeah, like,
because of what he's going to come in and the production he's going to get you. The problem with a quarterback being a steal is they're expensive. And so if you're trying to get something from the Browns, what are you giving up? What kind of money are you going to put? And then how long does he last? Because if he comes there and wants a long-term deal, that complicates things as well. So there's a lot of pieces in play when you talk about quarterback versus other positions on the field that could benefit
fit your football team.
Yeah, I don't think Baker's going to be in a position to demand a long-term deal from whatever team acquires him, right? I mean, so you're talking about you getting a guy, maybe Cleveland pays some of the salary, right? It's a worthwhile shot to take.
And to that point, to just point, I think there will be some steals in this draft. Last year, we saw three top-tier players get traded from one team to another on day one, which is Thursday, which is tomorrow. So that will likely happen, right? Deebo Samuel's a name that's being floated out there. Will it be a steal? Probably not, because you're going to have to pay a lot for him. But we saw Jalen Ramsey move. We saw, I mean, we talked about Trent Williams 2 years ago. We saw him move. We saw the left tackle from Kansas City, Orlando Brown. Right? So there will be some steals available. I just don't know if it'll be Baker Mayfield.
And we'll find out hopefully soon enough whether Baker Mayfield has a new home, whether the Browns release him, who's interested if the price does in fact drop. As Sacho mentioned, the NFL draft does start tomorrow. Once again, we'll have every pick on ESPN along with our usual expert analysis. Draft's also available on NFL Network, and ABC's coverage focuses on the prospect's journey to the draft. Our first-round coverage begins tomorrow at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, with all 3 days also on ESPN Deportes. Hey, let's get up and go through some other headlines in the world of sports. NCAA President Mark Emmert will be stepping down once his replacement is selected. An NCAA release said Emmert and the NCAA Board of Governors reached a mutual agreement for him to step aside. The New York Yankees beat the Baltimore Orioles 12-8 at Yankee Stadium behind three home runs and six RBIs from Anthony Rizzo. It was his first career three-homer game, gave the Yankees their fourth consecutive win. And in a 3-0 win over the Red Wings, Austin Matthews scored a pair of goals to give him 60 for the season. Became the first U.S.-born player and the first player in Maple Leafs history to achieve that feat. Coming up on Get Up, with draft day fast approaching, could we finally see a trade for Deebo Samuel? We have the very latest on the 49ers' disgruntled wide receiver.